Hey everyone, welcome to More Than Meets These Guys. This podcast is a journey through Transformers from the beginning of the anime series with two old friends coming at it from different perspectives. Together, we will go episode by episode with the occasional extra to look at how the show holds up or if it is a trap of nostalgia. We'll be looking at all things involved in the episode, whether there were real world factors that crept into the writing or if the episode was typical afternoon cartoon fodder. I'm Evan, a lifelong fan. Hi, everyone. I'm all familiar with all aspects of the franchise. Well, Ed here is familiar with Transformers, but it's really nothing he even got into back then. So how you doing, man?
Did you just say that we apply real world factors?
Yes, yes, we do. It's weird I say that because...
Well, see, here's the deal is that I don't really read our reviews a whole lot. Every now and then I'll scan like the average or whatever, because I basically only ever use Apple Podcasts. But every now there are a few that are exclusive to like Spotify or like other platforms, and so every now and then I go over there and like, you know, for the most part we have good reviews. We have good reviews. We have good fans, and I appreciate that. But so I found this one today. It says hit or miss. Okay, whatever. I was hoping for some nostalgia fueled talks about old episodes. The entire premise of our show. That's exactly what we do. We review, we talk about these and decide whether or not they are a trap of nostalgia. It's in the intro to the show.
Do you remember when you used to have your Sky Striker and your friend threw it on Ace on top of the roof?
I do.
Is that nostalgia?
Yeah, I do.
Now?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
these kids these days say these weirdest terms.
More often, let me continue here. But more often than not, the hosts seem to hate the episodes and characters. Look, if anybody hates anything on this show, it's me, and I'll admit that. And in particular, there's three characters that I hate. Okay, it's. Look, man, it's in the intro to the show. I'm not a fan of this. This is not my purview. This is not my lane. This is not where I live. Okay, I'm a G.I. Joe guy. I'm a Warhammer guy, and I've been upfront about that since episode one. It was the literal intro to the first episode, and that's fine. But I don't hate it. I give, as a matter of fact, I've kind of gone through and scanned and our ratings for the show for the episodes, and we have a positive trend for episodes. And as a matter of fact, friend of the show Trigger, I believe was doing an aggregate and made a graph. This was weeks ago. This was before I even saw this.
Yeah,
we tend to rate the shows more positively. But
to be fair, there are some really bad episodes this week in particular.
There are. That's the thing. I can't. I mean, we sit here and even the bad ones. Even the bad ones, we pick out cool stuff in them for the most part. Yeah. For the most part. And we laugh, we have a good time. That's what nostalgia means, my dude. Yeah. Sorry you didn't like it. But then they go on to say lots of complaining.
Well,
man.
I mean,
and trying to apply real world logic to a cartoon is nuts. No, it isn't. No, it absolutely is not.
It's in the intro.
And second of all, it's in the intro. We see if real world factors crept into the episode, and they do. We more often than not, we find that they do. Wouldn't recommend. That's fine. Sorry, 8-bit forever. I'm sorry you didn't you didn't like the show.
I like Nintendo also, but besides all of that. There are real world factors that creep into the episodes. I mean, the volcano they crash in is referred to as Mount St. Hilary. It is derivative of Mount St. Helens, which exploded in 1980.
We talk about it all. We talk about this all the time. It's the cornerstone of the show.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm sorry the 8-bit forever didn't like it.
I'm gonna go play some Metroid after this and feel better about myself.
I don't care for Metroid.
Neither do I, actually.
His being negative again. You know what I did play? You know what I have been playing a lot of lately, though?
Speaking
of it, Blades of Steel. You ever played Blades of Steel?
Oh, my God. I've loved Blades of Steel, man.
So my son is a massive hockey fan. He is obsessed with hockey. He's as obsessed with hockey as I am with baseball right now. And so we've been playing NHL 24 on the PlayStation.
That's cool.
And he's like, Dad, were there like old hockey games? And
were there?
Like, how many hockey games have there been? I'm like, buddy, there's been dozens of hockey games. I can't do a search for every hockey game ever, you know. But I was like, but we have an NES and we have Blades of Steel. And he was like, what? So we played Blades of Steel, and the funny thing about Blades of Steel, and this is it's kind of silly, but it's very cool, is that you can get into fight in Blades of Steel. You can get into fights. You
That's the
remember
best part about it. That was the claim to
that?
fame for Blades of Steel.
Yeah, it would go to 2D, and you'd have a 2D little 2D fighting thing. But the thing is, what was cool about it, and funny and ridiculous, was that the loser of the fight had to go to the penalty box.
Yeah. That's not how it works, man.
So, like, if you were good at fighting,
It's like
or
hockey and WWE.
if you had like an NES Max and you could turbo it, you could get like a 4-on-1 power play,
That
and
was the most broken controller ever made for a system. I had to.
it was so yeah. Oh
That's
man.
so.
But yeah, so we've been having a good time, and man, it is so easy to score in that game. Like, we had a game where that ended like 10-7. And we're having these on a regular basis, and it's a lot of fun. So
That's
with Blades of
actually really
Steel.
cool. I remember back on the in television that my brother had when I was younger, we had a hockey game. It was like little guys, they're like red and black guys. You go around the screen. I mean, they were like basically probably 5 pixels total, and they like you the stick would be out for them. So every time you hit the puck, which is a little cursor, knock it this way, and they would like kind of move on the screen. I mean, there have been hockey games forever. It's like you could rinse and repeat with soccer. You just change the background and you take the stick off there and they're just kicking a ball around.
Especially on older systems. It's fun. When you said in television, I thought that you were gonna like do like the ironic grandpa voice and say Nintendo.
Don't
You
do
have
that.
old relatives that said Nintendo?
That was a cool system. That was a little disc on the bottom. You had the custom pads for every controller. Yet
Oh,
came
the
with game.
television? Yeah, the television was great. There was a Dungeons and Dragons game on that was a lot of
Yeah,
fun.
there
And
was.
I remember my cousin had like some kind of a naval battle game. It was pretty cool. He had like minesweepers and battleships and
Yeah,
all this stuff.
it's actually a bit more advanced than the Atari, but the Atari like won the market kind of thing.
It was a lot more advanced than the
Yeah,
Atari,
a
actually. It
little
was actually
bit.
really far ahead of its time. But hey, we're not a video game podcast
We're
yet.
not. What?
After we turn into an aliens podcast, we'll turn into a
I
video
can't
game pod,
wait
retro
for
video game
Rhymes.
podcast. But we are a Transformers podcast
Yeah,
that traffics in nostalgia and the
this is a week
traps
I kind of
thereof. So, but I mean, I'm looking forward to the sea change that is when we turn into a Transformers podcast. Ah, oh, that was a rough transition. But since today we're dealing with sea change, and this is a Doug Booth episode.
I love me some Dougie Booth.
We've talked about Doug Booth in the past, and I'm not going to retread that here.
No.
So just go back and randomly listen to any other episode we've ever done, and there's probably a 60% chance that it was a Doug Booth episode, and there will be a mini bio on Doug Booth.
Well, I gotta say though, real quick, this is one of the things I feel like it was when we interviewed Michael Charles Hill, he said, basically I or it was it may have been when I interviewed Buzz Dixon. Anyways, you throw a lot of ideas, like you throw like 5 or 10 ideas and they pick one or two here and there. So a lot of the ones that you think are really you're more confident in don't get picked up, but the ones that aren't necessarily the best retreads of different ideas do get picked up. And I have a funny feeling this was one of those.
Yeah, and also that's a friend of the show, Michael Charles Hill, by the way.
Yes, Michael Charles Hill. He's
Friend of the show,
good
Michael
dude.
Charles Hill.
Yeah, I can't wait to have him back whenever we do some other episodes.
I know, I'm very excited to
He
have him.
said he'll make time for us anytime, whenever we're ready. So,
Man.
Mike, you're a good dude.
For real, no kidding.
So yeah, man. So this is called Sea Change, and it starts with Sea Spray taking Bumblebee water skiing.
Bumblebee is having a very hard time water skiing, also, which the first thing I thought of was he's canonically a great surfer.
Yeah, but
He
he's
surfed.
actually not very buoyant.
It doesn't matter. He was surfing. He was good at surfing because he was having a hard time with the balance and stuff. Oh, so 8-Bit Forever. I'm sorry. I'm applying real world things here.
I'm sorry, man.
Real world logic to a cartoon, which is
Easy,
just
buddy.
silly.
Roll back, roll back.
He's in the Transformers milieu. He's a great. He's known as a great surfer. That's what he's known as. That's what he's known for. He's a great surfer. I mean, Yellow,
Yeah.
Volkswagen,
Yeah.
Brave. He's
Yeah.
the bravest Transformer,
Of
right?
course. Yes.
Yeah. Great surfer. Great surfer.
Yeah, it all lines up. I got to interject real quick here, man. An 8-bit forever, if you don't care, if you don't ever listen to another episode, it's cool, man. It's cool. It's cool. Fine. I mean, I personally went on, I was in message boards as I do, and I was wrong about something at one point. And I got to say that, you know, I owned it. I said, hey, man, you're right. I was mistaken about this. I didn't realize this. 8-bit forever. It's not too late to, you know, email us at edhatestransformers@gmail.com or morethanmeetsetheseguys@gmail.com. Say, hey, man, I want to give you all another chance. I will point you to an episode you might like better. Just saying that. You're allowed to roll back and say, like, we'll try you again. But just like Bumblebee and Sea Spray, we're going to go back at this. Sea Spray wishes upon a star.
Oh, and yeah.
You know the best part about Sea Spray? Is nothing. He's also the same exact voice that they use for Merman, and you can hear bits of Skeletor because it's Alan Oppenheimer.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Okay.
So yeah, he works in a par star. And I'm like, oh, what'd you wish for? I can't tell you.
Can't tell him. Won't come true. So we get like a cut to we get a cool planet with some lagoons and really cool city on the water. I like this place already.
Yeah. I didn't know what the name of these people were. I just called them, like, you know, alien elves.
They had a name after a while, but they were, yeah, what they we did. Have here is a pseudo Mesoamerican planet.
Yeah.
Ruled by some robots. And so the first thing I thought of, didn't we see something really similar to this in the past in a previous episode?
I know what you're talking about. It's definitely in our reused plot device.
What episode was that from? Because I didn't have time to look at it to go back through my notes.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, we definitely saw another episode where there was like a humanoid race on a planet that was ruled by robots, yeah, right? Did we not see that at some point? What's that?
The God Gambit.
Was God Gambit.
God's Gambit, right. Yeah. That's and that's also they were like purple elves there.
But that's right.
They were not ruled by Deceptran.
Deceptran.
That name did not age well.
Well, I didn't even think about the thing that you're implying there. I didn't even think about that. I thought that it was like reminded me of I have a lot of Vietnamese friends and family, and that's what it reminded me of. It was like that's a very common last. Tran is a very common last name in Vietnamese. That's what I thought of initially.
I saw the name going, oh no.
Yeah, but after I thought about that, I was like,
not the best. But the Deceptran uses the energy of the space elves as nourishment.
So we have like a proto matrix plot here, almost, where we're like harvesting the energy from people and making batteries out of them. Okay, this is cool.
Which I got to say, I think it was like a, I may have been like, I don't know what show it was. But basically, it was posited how if you could actually, you know, produce enough energy for the planet using like people, and no, you can't. Maybe space cells are different, but you don't really produce enough energy.
Fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. So the Deceptran, you're really doing this wrong. Just gonna say that on. But
We got some mermaids.
Yeah, man.
And mermen.
And pushing droids into the water.
Pushing droids in the water. Yeah, these I guess Deceptran has this goon squad that's all these really kind of generic looking sci-fi robots.
The faces look terrible.
Yeah, the design of these guys wasn't all that great.
They kind of remind me of the robot face of the robot from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy from the 70s.
Marvin?
Marvin, yeah. He looks like a proto Marvin.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, they're terrible looking. And I'd be depressed.
Yeah,
also.
And Marvin was terrible looking in the 70s.
they're raising hell, knocking droids in the water.
So they end up like I guess taking over like some kind of a station or something and sending out an SOS, or somebody sends out an SOS.
That was Deceptran had SOS to the Decepticons.
Okay, but the Autobots receive it further. They get it. They're depicted as getting it first. Is the thing.
They're over there like wishing on stars, and he's like, Bumblebee's like, Man, see, Ray, if you wish on every star, we're gonna be here a while. He's like, oh, I got a message coming in. And he like listens to the message, and it's you know, they can't figure it out. This is some kind of weird garble message. So they go to Optimus Prime.
We go to Optimus Prime,
Yeah.
and so we've got Bumblebee, Sea Spray, Perceptor.
Except your favorite, yeah, I know. Part of the geeks. This is the C team, maybe D team of the Autobots right here.
Maybe this was the wrong episode to bring up 8-Bit Forever's because I'm about to rain some bombs down on this one, man. You know,
Everyone who
we get.
listens, we appreciate reviews, and 8-Bit Forever, honestly, I appreciate you leaving a review. I had to laugh a little bit, but you know, your feelings are valid. You know, if everyone else wants to leave a review, we'd be cool with that too. But anyways, but a nicer one. But yeah,
So,
man, go ahead.
oh, we got some of the Geek Squad here. All right.
Yes.
Yeah, this is at least we don't have the safety bots and the Geek Squad together. That's I
Oh,
guess that's all right. But
just wait for it.
I
Just
need be
wait.
I need beach I need like Beachcomber in here.
The
Trax, maybe one of those
beach
cool guys.
spots. Well, Trax would have been cool at least.
Trax was yeah, Trax
Yeah.
is a cool guy. He could have been in there, but
Let's go to the other planet, guys.
and we have and Cosmos. We have Cosmos in here too, man. And
I love Cosmos says. Go ahead.
They're gonna go to this planet and check out the SOS. And Cosmos is like, he tells Optimus Prime that he's just sorry, Optimus Prime, you're just too big. And you're too big to fa but th they cut to an interior shot of all these guys hanging out inside of Cosmos, and there's plenty of room. There's like a warehouse in there.
Yeah, there's plenty of room in there. Blaster was hanging out in there, and yeah, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, Optimus, you're just too big. So yeah, Perceptor, Bumblebee, Sea Spray, and Cosmos jet off to an alien planet. They don't figure out it's a Decepticon distress call until they get into the atmosphere. He's burning up in the atmosphere. Like, oh no, it's a Decepticon call.
Now they figured it out. Like now,
Yeah.
like I don't know why it's somehow decrypted if you flew all the way across the galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah, they it's a crypto message from the third Cybertronian War, which means that it's a Decepticon SOS. So,
Okay, so what okay, so like they haven't covered any of the Cybertronian Wars really. I mean, there's like so when was the third Cybertronian War?
a while ago,
Like, I mean, I guess it was at least 5 million years ago, right?
probably at least 5 million years ago.
It
Yeah,
had
I
to
would
have
say
been
at
five
the
million
very
years ago
least,
because I mean that was
it's definitely past 4 million years. I don't know if it's
four
outside.
million years. Yeah.
Yeah.
However long Shockwave sat in that chair on Cybertron,
4 million years, I
four
know.
million years. Okay, four
Oh,
million years.
Megatron, why won't you answer my Skype call?
Every day for 4 million years, requests
Megatron,
sent.
I have low energy. Are you there?
Oh God. So Decepticon has these crazy arms like a 1960s Marvel Comics robot. But it looks like what he looks like is that somebody made a ro like a robot costume arms out of like dryer vent tubing.
They
That's
kind of do. I mean,
what he looks. He just yeah,
he looks
because
like
he does like this like dan this like Natalie Merchant style dancing a lot of times with these arms. This is
that's great. And he looks like a robot Orson Welles. So that doesn't help either. Like old Orson
You
Welles.
know who he looks and acts like?
Who?
He acts like a robot version of Baron Harkonnen from the 84
Oh, he
Doom,
kind of does.
doesn't he?
Oh, wow. Looking at it that way. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's a big fat robot and he floats around and he's getting oh he's going crazy all the time.
Yeah, so that'll happen. The droids shoot down Cosmos because he's the worst. He's the worst flyer. I mean, he's worse than Omega Supreme.
Dude, he's a terrible space taxi. Why couldn't they have used Omega Supreme or Skyfire here?
Dude, Skyfire.
I know they're not allowed to use Skyfire. That's right.
So Skyfire's off on holiday, and Omega Supreme's probably out in the woods by himself complaining about life. I don't know. There's probably some reason he didn't do it. So yeah, the they crash in you know, Cosmos does like, oh, my paint job is ruined, just
Mad
like
at his
Trax
paint
would
job.
do.
Bro, you're I like tracks, yeah. Dude, you're stranded on another planet,
Yeah.
and you realize you're in a trap, and you're worried about your paint job. That's the priority.
The somehow says my pink job is ruined. Pink
Man.
job. Yeah, so there's a little fight going on. They're getting attacked by droids, and like Okay, space elves.
Space elves, the attack. Eldar.
Yeah, yeah. What are their names? I'm trying to think. They are the, I don't know, something cons.
The autocons or something like that, or the,
I don't know, man. It's
something.
I don't know. Weird name. It doesn't make any sense at all.
I figured it really wasn't that important because they probably won't ever show up again. I would imagine. See, I knew it.
Thankfully not.
So they talk about a thing called the Well of Transformation.
Yes.
Like what? Oh, what's going on here?
So could it be the MacGuffin of the episode? Yeah.
They take the Autobots here, but they have a secret bush. They have a secret passage bush.
Pretty bushy.
So,
but you passed over the consequential part of the episode where Sea Spray tackles two droids and the female elf. I'm Alana. Thank you for saving me. A very heavy metal way of saying it too. She's like,
that was very heavy metal.
Gary Canyon. Like... Anyways, yeah, that's so all the elves at the Well of Transformation turned into mer people.
Like, oh, now we see where they came.
Yeah, yeah, they go to this magical well.
So they jump in this thing and they turn it. They sort of transmogrify into something else. Yeah. And
apparently,
so,
whatever you think you are, your heart is what you become. So,
yeah, but then some of these robots fall in there and they just turn into nothing.
Well, so maybe they are not autonomous.
They weren't thinking about anything.
Yeah, they're droids. They're doing a job, and you know. Atlanta says they can't. So, of course, Bumblebee almost falls in. Whoa! C-Spray grabs him. Buddy, look out.
Hey, so I have a question here. And this is more rhetorical. And I'm sure you'll be like, I don't know. So there's Decepticons on this planet, right? There's the Baron Harkonnen guy.
Mm.
Deceptitran. What a dumb name.
Yeah. Agreed.
So he has all these minions. Why don't these guys transform? I mean, they're Transformers, right? I mean, they're from Cybertron.
Well, I guess Shockwave's drones he had on Cybertron that never transformed. They just walked around, looked menacing.
Yeah, well, I mean that I can almost get because they're like a drone team, and I would get like the droids not transforming, but
the droids seem like drones also.
What's that?
The droids seem like drones as well.
Right. Well, those I can get, but like, Deceptitran. Why doesn't Deceptitran? Why didn't he transform?
Well, what is he going to transform into? Like,
I don't care. It doesn't matter. Something, but he's a transformer. It's in the name.
Yeah. Well, you're not wrong. Okay. Oversight.
It seems like when they introduce like non-action figure characters into this, they never transform.
Yeah.
Like the bounty hunter guy. Like that guy didn't, he transformed into like a spaceship or something.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just going to put this out there. Doug Booth, I know you listen to the show, big fan. I know you've talked to me about it. Email us. We would have a conversation why he didn't transform. So anyways, yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. So the three of them, they had this whole thing where Laserbeak is scoping them out. Oh, that's wide-eyed.
Mm. No, my dog is like his face is in my lap and I'm I think he wants to go for a walk or something, but
I get that.
Yeah.
The Laserbeak has followed them to the well, and they see like the little rock slides away and they come out.
Mm-hmm.
Laserbeak's like, oh, okay, cool, mm-hmm, cool. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to escape, and they're waylaid by Megatron, who has approached the planet because of the distress call.
They also got there. They knew what was up though.
Knew exactly what was going. Deceptitran. He obviously is having. And man, Megatron is so dismissive of Deceptitran.
He has no patience for this guy at all.
Honestly, Deceptran's like, oh, Megatron, help me! And
I told you he's Baron Harkonnen.
He really is.
Just like
Emperor, help me!
In the Lynch movie. So,
I love that movie.
Speaking of dumb lines and accents, though, when the Eldar, the space elves, leave, and what was her name? Alana. She gives Sea Spray a little kiss on the face and dives in, and he turns into Forrest Gump.
He does.
She kissed me,
Janae.
He turned into Forrest Gump, dude.
This is like another like the girl who lived Powerglide episode.
I immediately thought of that. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, this is like two old episodes like stitched together.
This is
Who
like
wrote those?
season two has this real lull where it has some really weird, dumb, tropey episodes. This is definitely one of them. Yeah. Yo, don't even look
You
at me like
think?
that.
You
Yes, I
think
do think.
it does? I think it does. So,
I was living
who wrote Girl Who
this.
Loved Powerglide?
Huh?
Who wrote The Girl Who Loved Powerglide?
Oh, I don't know. I have to look that up real quick, man. It was probably Doug Booth.
No, I don't think it was. It was that was David Wise.
Okay, well, still, that's another guy. He probably does the other like another 30% of the episodes we review, which is kind of
He
weird.
does. He does do a lot. He does do a lot of those.
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
yeah, you're absolutely right.
But you know, it's kind of cool to know that Buzz Dixon's there the whole time, back going, "I could fix it for you." Come on, Buzz, you weren't there this time, there, buddy. Oh yeah, they are the Talalacons.
Kalalakon. Okay.
No, Talalacons,
Kalalakons, right?
like
With the T.
Tile Alicons. They're just I'm space elves, man. Space elves works for
Space
me.
elves. Yeah.
What were the
So, yeah. Okay.
D&D like mer elves?
I thought they were just called aquatic elves. I don't, that,
What they were
the
called
Mara?
aquatic elves? So there's a
Mara?
name for them, though.
Oh, I do. I do. I don't
I
know.
never liked them, but this is exactly what.
I don't, you know, as long as I've been playing D&D, I don't really truck much with underwater things in
It's
D&D. I never really got
limited.
it,
It's
never really got
hard
into
to deal
that.
with.
It is hard to deal with. I also I don't like doing underwater missions in video games. Ever tell
Hate
you that? I
it.
don't, it gives me the creeps. I don't like the
Oh,
ocean.
really?
Yeah, I know. They always creep me out because of the way that the weird like visibility is, how things like coalesce out of the.
I kind of like that because it's good for like the horror aspect of it. I always hate dealing with the I don't know the logistics of dealing with a fluid instead of the air. You know, you have to like you have to buoyant and you always have weird physics when you're in the water.
Yeah.
Mario the water level of Super Mario Brothers, hated it.
The
And
only
of
one that I
course.
like it in is Fallout 4 because things can't attack you in Fallout 4 when you're underwater. You
Okay.
just take radiation damage, but
Yeah.
if you're in power armor, you don't. But you sink to the bottom, you just walk.
I actually never got that far in
Yeah,
Fallout 4.
it's handy. So I guess some kind of little battle plays out, and then Bumblebee gets captured here, and they're
Yeah,
strapping him
he.
into a chair. But
Oh.
they have when they're doing this, they have like standard extension cords here. They're like, if you
So
they're just
what
plugging,
happens?
it's
They
like they're like Clark Griswold plugging in
yeah.
the Christmas
Oh
lights
God,
here.
it is. Yeah, they get like they get waylaid by like was it Megatron Thrust for some no Dirge Megatron Dirge Soundwave and Rumble's there of course and Blazerbeak. So yeah, they pop out and they start getting shot at. So he C3 transforms into his hovercraft. They all grab hold because he's a tiny hovercraft. And he jets off the edge of the waterfall, but for some reason, Bumblebee, you know, let go. He's
Oh, okay. Yeah.
that's where
Oh, yeah. He gets caught like a churn or something. I think is
yeah,
what
something like
happened
that.
there. But yeah, the waterfalls there are kind of cool. They're like steps. They like
Yeah, it's actually
yeah,
cool.
it was kind of neat.
They, what is it? Okay. Yeah, there's, okay, there is this weird, this whole thing where it's happening here. Like this is what my notes say. Three of them escape the Decepticons into the water, but Bumblebee is left behind like Kirk Cameron. Rumble spots him going down the falls and said, "Soundwave, here's one of them." And the subtitles read, "Sandwich, here's one of them." So there's that.
Sandwich.
Sandwich, yes.
Sandwich.
Soundwave, here's one of them.
I
Yes.
love that you just dropped a Left Behind reference
I
there.
did.
I was recently reading a like a Hey, Look How Bad This Is review of those books, and
Yeah.
apparently I've never read Left
Yeah,
Behind.
right.
Listeners, if you're not familiar with Left Behind, it was a series of books in the 90s. It was
Rapture
this
stuff.
what's up?
Rapture stuff.
Yeah, it was this Christian fiction where there was like a rapture and certain people got left behind for some reason, which I for reasons I don't understand or care about, because I thought that all good Christians were supposed to be taken up with the rapture, but I guess some get left behind, hence
Well,
the title of the
the
thing
ones that eat the banana the wrong way. You've seen that video.
who knows, man. So there's apparently there's a part in this book where there's like a guy that's like trying to like unite the UN. He's like giving like an inspirational speech,
Mm-hmm.
And like the writer was like so bad at writing those things that literally the entire speech is just him going, it just him literally listing off all the nations in the UN in alphabetical order. And that's what gets everybody all hyped up to band together is him be like, we wanted to say thanks to all the great nations in the world, Albania, like
So
and he just lists.
he did a
And at the
college
end,
he did a college football like announcer guy like on center is Wachkowski.
but that was supposed to be the big inspirational speech, like from like Independence Day, that like Bill Pullman does in Independence Day. That and people, oh yeah, and then they're all like, yeah, let's rise up and fight against the devil. And it was like literally all he did was just list like 200 countries.
Montenegro, yeah, with one
It's
W.
like but yeah, like
Who the best little
Liechtenstein,
city sticker
yeah,
is on
Liechtenstein,
him?
like,
Yeah.
dude, it was like, wow, that sounds like the worst thing I've ever read. Like,
Zaire.
and the thing is, I don't know, I can't confirm this, but I think it's all typed out in the book. I think that it's just,
Oh, they probably needed to fill up page spaces. It's like 3 pages of countries.
did you know that in one of the Twilight books, apparently, there's like 10 blank pages in a row after one of the people breaks up with one of the other people,
Oh no, I did
like,
not know
to
that
show
about
that
that.
their despair. It's just 10 blank pages.
And I will never actually read that because yeah.
Me either, but it's still pretty
I don't like
funny.
fan fiction honestly, but
Ooh,
ooh.
yeah.
Ooh. Fan fiction that made a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
So
So anyway, so Bumblebee goes to, I guess, to summon the rest of the Autobots. He's got a play button on his arm. This is cool. He's got like a little Walkman command on there or something. That's pretty
they'll
neat.
never tell the Decepticons what they want to know.
He will never reveal the Wu-Tang secret. Um,
Wu-Tang is for the
so,
children. That's what the secret is.
so, so, yeah. So we get, man. So at this point, this is when the whole episode's
Goes
like,
off the rails.
dude, it completely gets like, what? So we get this really ham-fisted Philip K. Dick, our robots human bit
Oh, yeah.
in here, because so what we get is like this tender moment with Sea Spray and Alana, and so Sea Spray wants to go into the well of transformation, and you know she tries to talk him out of it. She's like, no, it'll turn into nothing or whatever. And it turns into this whole thing of like how they like each other and how like is he just a machine? Is he just
Yeah.
transistors and bolts and stuff? I'm
It's
like,
my
yeah, you all,
heart.
yeah, he is. Yeah, I mean, I don't
Yeah.
know, but I don't know the metaphysics of Transformers, but yeah, I'm pretty sure that he is. But so he goes in, and so he turns into the Beastmaster.
He does.
He turns into he turns into Mark Singer from the Beastmaster here.
Was his name? Mark what?
Mark Singer.
Mark Singer, the
Mark Singer.
Beastmaster.
Yeah. Terrible, terrible human being, but
He's Koto and Poto. Like a great movie. I love that. It played all the time on TBS.
it came on TBS every day when we were kids.
Yep. Koto and Poto.
Listen to all this nostalgia we're talking about Beastmaster here. So,
Ain't it forever? This is the
this
episode to listen to, man.
is for you, man. So hey,
Yeah.
remember Beastmaster? Hey, remember Beastmaster?
Remember the time? Yeah. Did you ever watch the sequel? No, I didn't either.
Hey, remember when he threw that thing at the guy and
Oh,
hit him?
yeah. Remember he had the
Yeah,
pants too?
so
That's cool.
so
All those
yeah, so
pop.
they have this whole thing. So he comes out as the Beastmaster, and and except for his feet didn't change.
Feet. Or can't. I guess I'm still a robot in the core, whatever he said.
He kept his robot feet, but he still got this goofy voice. You know who he kind of looked like a little bit was you know who Willie Ames is?
Really? I know that name.
He was in like Charles in Charge. He was like Scott Baio's friend in Charles in Charge.
Oh,
You know the
yeah. I
big
know. I
beard.
can picture him. I didn't really know him that well, but yeah.
Yeah, I think he was the voice of a Hank the Ranger in the D&D cartoon who looks almost just like him. So he looks a
Oh, I
lot
can
like
see
Hank
him.
the Ranger
Oh,
from
wow.
Dungeons and Dragons.
I kind of thought, did you ever watch the Tick cartoon?
I watched The Tick the other day, actually. My son and I watched The Tick.
Oh, I love that show so much. Did you ever see the Aztecs?
Yes.
He reminds me of the leader of the Aztec guys.
I can kind of
Because he
see
had
that.
all the garb on and stuff and the blonde hair.
I can see that. So he's mostly like elf at this point. He's mostly like elf with robot feet.
Hey, wait, hold on a second. The tick is nostalgia, right?
The tick is nostalgia.
Forever. There you go.
A bit forever is this nostalgia.
Right there for you, buddy.
Remember that time that Chairface Chippendale went to write his name on the?
It ended up being Cha.
And it was in the entire series after that. That was
great. I love this episode. I'm gonna watch some more of them later.
It's all on Amazon Prime. I'm pretty sure.
Oh no way. Okay, cool. Yeah, we just got renewed on that. So I'm definitely gonna take use of that $150. But they go there, they're like, they get explosives to like blow up the structures under the water of the temples. They look like, I don't know, like you know the old Looney Tunes, like a black ball, the fuse coming out of it, look like
old anarchist bomb.
Yeah. It looks like those, but on a string. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's Subtrans in there. He's like, they barge right in like mechanical barbarians.
He had a complete meltdown here. He wasn't like, the subtitles wouldn't even track with what he was saying.
No.
He's just a babbling idiot. Yeah, Megatron just shuts this dude. He literally turns him off.
Deceptitran.
He turns him off. He pulls the Han Solo from when he turns C-3PO off. I'm tired of this, dude.
Thank you.
Oh, oh man. Rumble gets down into the, he falls into the...
Oh, yeah, he falls Seaspray and Alana.
Yeah, he falls into the well of transformation, and they trick him and tell him to think of a nice tree, and he turns into a tree.
That's great, because they're glowing at this point. And Alana's in his head going, you must think of a tree, think only of it as a tree. The only way you survive is to think of yourself as a tree. He's like, okay. And he turns into a tree. It's great because the far-off shot of him looks like a tree from, like, I don't know, if you animated a tree from The Evil Dead.
It is a real mean looking tree, but when they go close up though, he's just like encased in the tree. He's not turning. It was a cool little trick there, I guess.
Nice little visual pun.
So he's stuck there. He's just stuck there. He's just a tree underwater. He's an underwater tree.
Bye, buddy.
And they take off, and so Seaspray transforms into hovercraft. And he transforms. He physically like transforms into the hovercraft. Like his body changes or reconfigures into this, like a transformer does.
Yeah.
But then Alana transforms also along with.
You skipped over an important part here. Alana takes the form of a robot.
So she turns into. She turns into a robot.
Literally, see Seaspray's balls drop. He's like, oh.
Yeah, I know. He gets real excited about this.
But she turns into like a Viking longboat.
It's like a gondola. She's like from Venice or something like that. But but she doesn't even transform into this thing. She gets like the weird like energy explosion and then becomes it or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, come on. But I was happy though that a non toy changed into something else.
Yeah, there you go. See, there your answer is fulfilled now.
I guess it is. I guess I was wrong the whole time. I've been wrong. Episodes of this show, I've been wrong.
I'm wrong a lot. It's fine. I'm used to it.
I was wrong about that Tom Waits thing from Scrooge that one time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Buster Point.
I'm still mad about it. It was David Johansen.
But I can understand why you would think that, the way the guy talked and the way he looked. I can understand.
He did. I think he was.
He looked like a Tom Waits cosplay.
He really did. So Alana and Seaspray bust up into Deceptitran's headquarters, and somehow she just has dominion over this guy.
You see his like innards are hanging out, and she's reprogrammed him.
Well, she calls him he calls her like mistress from the start. Like, I didn't even see anything. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I like where this is going.
Like, yes, mistress. And tell all of the droids to open fire on the Decepticons. Yes, mistress. And meanwhile, I think it's Seaspray. Is it Seaspray or Bumblebee? Has run into the Energon warehouse. I think it's Seaspray.
I think so.
Yeah, he runs in there, and there's an image where the walls look like Energon cubes. I think they, like, the animators got kind of confused. Like, oh, yeah, that's dangerous. But he goes to the end of it, and he shoots the Energon cubes. The whole thing blows up. The whole Mesoamerican Aztec island thing starts blowing up too, which is fine because they're all mer people.
Yeah, yeah, like they don't matter.
And yeah, they're leaving. Megatron calls Acetrain a sponge.
Well, let's go, you sponge.
I mean, like, props for something new, I guess, but of all things, a sponge.
Sponge. Yeah. But, I really hope that was like an in joke with the writers. Like, somebody called somebody a sponge one day. Like, like Buzz Dixon called him a sponge. So he's all like, well, I'm going to put that in the episode.
Being
like,
a sponge, or taking all our good ideas and making shit out of stuff.
We just got an E.
I said something under my breath. I don't know what you're talking about. But then Sea Spray and Alana motor off into the sunset. The hovercraft into the sunset.
And she as a space elf, he as a
the hovercraft.
As a robot.
Apparently that's what they both like. He's into space elves, she's into garbled speak really awkward robots.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it's, yeah. I don't know, man. It's kind of
this is as bad as the girl of Paraglide, but in a different
way. I disagree, man. This I hated this episode. This sucked. This might now be one of my least favorite episodes because it didn't even have I don't really like any of the characters that were in it. I don't think there were many like cool scenarios you could really play out like from Kid Brain. Okay, from Kid Brain, I don't see a lot of like things that I can rip off here. I don't know, man. I always hated like cross playing, like using these toys from this line with these toys. Like, I hated that when I was a kid.
Just go get your muscle figures and use them as the space elves. And like
you may as well tell me to like set everything on fire if you tell me to do that.
Wow.
So, man, yeah. Kid Brain is gonna go one. Ooh. Halloween costume made from a refrigerator box and dryer vent hoses out of five. Adult Brain, I didn't like this one at all. Bad reviews from 8-bit Forever people aside. I did not enjoy this episode in the least bit. And I couldn't even find much to pick on or like fun bits that I could mess around with in it. So Adult Brain will also award this one Philip K. Dick short story from a battered library copy of the year's best science fiction, edited by Brian Aldiss, out of five.
You're really going to do Philip K. Dick that bad?
He didn't. Look, everything can't be a hit. Okay.
You're not wrong.
Every short story can't be a hit. I'm saying only one short story, only one Philip K. Dick short story.
Okay.
Not a very good one. Look, man, I love Philip K. Dick. Dude was zonked out of his mind. The majority of his writing career. They can't all be hits. They can't all be Minority Report or Can remember It For You Wholesale. Those are great stories. Yeah, I mean, they can't all be that. So there's some stinkers in there. So I'm talking about the short stories because that's where I love short stories, and that's where good writers get bad ideas out of their systems.
So you're not going to say anything about William Gibson? Everything good?
Why would I referenced Philip K. Dick earlier in the episode.
I know how much you love Gibson.
He's got some stinkers too, man. Have you?
No, I've not.
Like, he's got some stuff that I'm like, I don't know. Like this last like 5 years of writing, I'm like, I don't know, man. I didn't like the Peripheral very much.
I'd never read that.
There's a series on Amazon I keep meaning to watch, but I don't care.
I haven't watched it at all. Yeah, this is one of the episodes I was really like, I was looking forward to slash really dreading, because I don't want you getting bogged down in the really bad stuff, and it's bad. It's real bad.
It's not so good, Al. Yeah.
This is on level with The Girl Who Loved Powerglide. Girl Who Loved Powerglide had some funny moments, at least. This had nothing but really bad space elves who sounded like heavy metal characters, and the D Squad.
Yeah.
I don't like Sea Spray. I don't like Cosmos. I like Perceptor more than you do. Bumblebee is just like one of the same.
Bumblebee's a top shelf Autobot. Yeah. He's a good dude.
He's the glue that held everything else together. This is terrible. I purposely haven't watched this episode since I got the old box set back in the early 2000s.
Oh no.
Yeah, I haven't watched this at all, and I know why now. Because Optimus Prime is even like, nah, dude, I'm not getting part of this. I'm not.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yep. Like, you're too big to get in the spaceship. He's like, yeah, sure am. Y'all go deal with this dumb mission on your own, suckers.
I'm going to sit out this episode and do something cool. I was going to call Omega Supreme, but now we're good. Yeah, this is all terrible.
He's probably hanging out with Omega Supreme. What do you think he's doing?
He's in the woods hanging out. Talking about, like, hey, Omega Supreme, what about that one time that the Constructicons kind of screwed you over? Oh, I'll tell you this one time and in my regular voice.
Right. Or, hey, Omega Supreme, remember that one time that I sent like a bunch of the D Squad out to another planet? Didn't feel like going.
I don't know, because you didn't send me, and they both laugh. That's kind of how this is. And I want to like disagree with you, and I can't even disagree with you. Like, there is nothing redeeming. Oh, okay. There's one redeeming thing about this episode. The rumble tree. I laughed at that one. That's the only thing I laughed at. So by that, I will give it 1.5. I will give it 1.5 robot feet that didn't turn into human merman space elf feet out of 5. Okay. Maybe one couple of feet. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, that's what I'm gonna give it. So yeah, it's terrible. It's all terrible. I'm glad this is done. I'm glad it's passed. The next one's gonna piss you off. The next episode is Hoist Goes Hollywood.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Actually, it's funny. It's real funny.
I'm gonna preemptively say that there's probably a lot of really cool backgrounds and signs that I can look at.
Yeah. Oh so, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one.
It's Safety Bot, but it's gonna be really funny and ridiculous. So I feel like we just got past the worst episode of the series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy with that.
Okay.
We've come this far. It's not too far ahead. And also, I want to say real quick, wishing a friend of the show, Boo, lots of comfort, man. That they got hit in Houston by the Hurricane Beryl.
Oh no, I didn't realize Boo
power like last night.
Oh no.
Brutal there. They Center Point, which is the utility service there, was negotiating prices for people coming from out of town to work on the lines instead of actually getting them up.
Mm-hmm.
The governor there did not return the president's phone calls for FEMA relief. So you can see how that thing's going. So
you mean the state that decided to not upgrade its power grid?
That's the one.
America.
Freedom. Oh, yeah. So yeah, man. Wishing all the well to Boo out there and your family. And we know how it is with the hurricane. So luckily, I'm a little out of the path now.
Yes.
Rare W for Alabama. Anyways.
For that part of Alabama.
Yeah, exactly. It's a nice, quaint part of Alabama, yes. And out of the path. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna hold it here, man. You got anything that you want to finish this up with?
I don't know. I don't think I do.
Off your game, dude.
What?
You're off your game.
Yeah, I am really off the game, but that's fine. And you'll get your bearings back, and or we'll get our bearings back, or I'll get my bearings back.
Yeah, glad to have you back, buddy.
I was rattled because of that that terrible 2-star review that I got. I can't. I'm gonna be thinking about it all forever. Night.
Email us, man.
Forever. I'm gonna be drinking wine, eating spaghetti here in like 30 minutes, and
way ahead of you, buddy.
Really, really stressing out about it.
Yeah, I know. I could tell.
Not really. So.
Yeah, take it easy. Have a great week, everyone.
So roll out. Later, guys.
of the Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.